Hello and welcome to Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be reading some more information from Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf, blind, pink puppy and his family, written by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. And if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to start today's readings with Melissa Shapiro's book, Piglet. And in the last chapter, we learned that Melissa decided to adopt Piglet because it was in his best interests. He felt more comfortable and safe with Melissa and Warren than he would with any new family that he would be placed with. Chapter 8, Puppy on a Mission. When I announced to my parents, I asked Gloria and her sister to take down the listing Piglet's going to be staying. They lovingly pretended to be surprised. Piggy and I had stopped by in person, bringing their beloved grand dog, Susie, along with us, only to hear my mom's, "You did? Oh, well, what do you know?" With that, she turned to my dad, who confessed, "We can't believe it took you so long to adopt him yourself. We knew that nobody else would care for him the way you do, Melissa." My mother always was positive, and she went on further. "I think 7 dogs a better number than 6. Piglet's your lucky 7. From then on, that was her special name for Piggy, Lucky 7. There, what took you so long was the general consensus from most everyone close to us, family, friends, many of the veterinarians and clients, and of course Piglet's BFFs and my colleagues at Norwalk's Veterinary Hospital. On the same day that I went there to announce their news, a few afternoons after the fact, as Piggy and I were on the way inside, he sat up at attention, almost wriggling out of my arms, his nose twitching with anticipation. This was all part of his symptomatic mapping, which was my term for how he learned his way around. Whether in our house or our yard or on outings like this, when he was being carried, he'd take it all in the first time, a function mostly of smell, touch, and memory. The next time, he'd immediately navigate the route taken without guesswork. The more I studied how Piglet used the abilities he did have, the more I suspected that he was forming pictures of just what he was and where he was headed. He paid rapt attention every second and put all the pieces together as they came to him. For a sighted dog with hearing, these observations would have been par for the course. The only difference was that Piggy was doing it mainly with another organ, his nose. The effort of his mind, work, had to be tremendous, but I understood that he was motivated to gain his bearings because he didn't want to feel alone. On top of that, he was genuinely interested in engaging in his own world and the world around him. He did this more and more efficiently and effectively as he built on previous experiences. It was particularly remarkable that the runt of the litter, who may well have been half-baked, as Gina, the vet tech, had once described him, would turn out to be such a powerhouse of a thinker. Sometimes he reminded me of a pink puppy, Sherlock Holmes, making inferences about where we were and how to recognize humans and animals. He could smell their breath and other telltale scents about them, recording the details on his spreadsheet of friends kept in a mental directory. Mapping for Piglet wasn't continuous, just when encountering a new environment or when there was a change in a familiar setting. Invariably, he forgot nothing and could navigate exactly where we were going if we'd been there before. In this case, because he hadn't had all of his vaccine, I chose not to let him walk on the grass or sidewalks outside NVH. Until the last set of puppy DHPP vaccines, it's always advisable to avoid letting a puppy walk around in places where lots of other dogs congregate or travel. Once young dogs are fully immunized, they can safely be on the ground in such settings. Whether or not he could feel my excited energy about announcing that Lucky 7 was here to stay, I didn't know. What I did know was that he was an extraordinary thinker and that I had yet to see all that he could do with his mind. You know, you are a smart one, I told him, both in words he couldn't hear and with a loving hug he could feel. When we got inside Norwalk Veterinary Hospital, all I had to do was enter grinning, and most everyone understood the right away that Piglet was going to be a Shapiro after all. Piglety at once began to frantically sniff the air for smell of familiar cilantro, almost trying to lurch from my arms in the direction of where Monica was usually stationed, but was not there at the moment. Before he could get too upset, he picked up the presence of his old girlfriend, Oneida, Monica's cousin, who worked out front as the receptionist. 2 months earlier, Oneida had stopped over to visit with Piggy, and her husband came along. Her husband, Armando, was the day that they were babysitting Piggy, who was smitten with her ever since. Oneida was not as effusive as Monica, but she happily took the elated pink puppy and began exchanging nose rubs and kisses with him. Oneida whispered, as if it was a secret, "You aren't letting him go." I shook my head no, and she let out a huge, thankful breath. And then, regrettably, she had to return to her desk, handing him back to me, saying, "That's the best news ever," as she walked away. We looked around for Emily, the vet tech Peggy knew had treats in her pocket, but we couldn't find them. We did, however, find Jessica and Mallory, who made a royal fuss over Piggy. When I told them that we were officially adopting him, they started oohing and aahing over the pink puppy boy so happily that Monica and Emily picked up on the buzz as they walked through the treatment room. "On my God, oh yes, thank you so much," Monica said loudly. "That's the best news ever." With that, Piggy's tail kicked into an even higher fancy wagging gear, and remembering she was his true BFF girlfriend, he scrambled to leave my arms, lurching and launching himself over for Monica to hold him. She smooched him on one side of his face, then on the other. Monica let Piggy dive down her shirt, all the while cooing and singing welcome songs in a mix of languages, both real and made up. Emily joined the happy cluster and soon had Piglet in her arms. His nose twitched as he did a wind-up for a pocket dive. Our huddle was like an impromptu adoption party. The vets were congratulatory, but not at all surprised. Dr. Janet Duffy came over and gave me a big smile, telling me she was happy that I'd kept him because now we can get to see him grow up. Dr. Charlie Duffy laughed and looked at me with a nod and an eye roll, as if to say he'd known this was inevitable, even if he did think I was a little bit crazy. I know there were other colleagues who may have thought that too, but only one said it out loud quite a few months later. She really couldn't believe I'd keep yet another needy puppy. In addition to the 6 dogs and 4 birds that already took up most of my time and energy, her exact words were, "You need to have your head examined." The comment was off the cuff, not meant to be mean, but it took me by surprise. She may have been projecting because a lot of vets don't always have self-control when it comes to adding just one more. I paused and then asked her, "Why do you say that?" She mumbled something about having my hands full, at which point I handed her Piglet's newly printed business card, assuring her that there was nothing crazy about the advocacy work we were able to do for other dogs and pets with disabilities. I didn't have to say anything else or even state out loud that, of course, who better to advocate for such issues as these than a cute dog who was deaf and blind but living up to a calling this meaningful? Nor did I have to say that as a veterinarian, we should be the first to help spread that message. She later visited his website and was quite complimentary and offered a sincere apology. Becoming an animal welfare advocate was the main mission that we had in mind when I made Piglet's adoption contingency promise that he would have a productive, meaningful life. By we, of course, I meant that I had decided on a simple goal initially would be to raise awareness and money specifically for organizations that rescue and help place pets with disabilities. The overall mission grew quickly to encourage spaying and neutering of dogs and cats, to educate people about the severe consequences of double dapple and double merle breeding, and to encourage the adoption of special needs pets. The other comment that really haunted me was the one that had come from the work associate of Warren's, who was also a dog breeder. At the time, Warren had been talking to coworkers about how amazing Piglet was, showing them pictures and saying that the puppy was deaf and blind. This work associate understood that we had seven dogs, each of whom had come from rescue groups, and then he let it slip to Warren that they didn't sell puppies with disabilities. We cull dogs with that type of defect because they don't have a good quality of life. To him and to some others in the breeding world, it was accepted that the puppies with physical or developmental deficits were not adopted out or even given away. What then? Warren couldn't even say it. Neither could I. When Warren first told me about it later that night, I was seething. Even thinking about it now makes me sick to my stomach. At the same time, it added extra fire to my modest goal of enabling Piglet to be an ambassador who could encourage changes in those practices. This was when I really embraced my role as a teacher enabler to push the pink prodigy to do things that other dogs without disabilities do, but rather to meet him where his desire to learn would take us. That meant following his lead. This entailed doing what all enablers do best, to set him up for success and give Piglety the chance to show us what he could do and how far he wanted to go. I would start by shining a light on his gifts that existed not in spite of his disabilities, but alongside of them. Piglet was no different from all other dogs who genuinely loved to learn because they loved to bond and communicate back and forth with their person. They thrive on praise and encouragement from the person who provides comfort, security, food, and companionship. Lots of dogs are food motivated, so treats are the initial gateway to connecting with a new dog. Over his first 2 months of foster puppying, thanks to a tap signal, Piglet had already quickly learned basic skills that had given us a common language. Now we advanced to refining his wait or stay that involved having Piglet understand that I was asking him to remain still. I stood in front of him, not moving, and after only a few seconds, when he didn't move, I gave him his okay signal and then a treat. Once he realized I was asking him to stay where he was, I was able to move back a step and then right back into him. Then, when I stepped away, I delayed going back to him for a few seconds. A minute, 2 minutes. He got it. His wheels were turning. I was able to teach him come with a food lure and a gentle swipe from under his chin. Then we did down, which was a little bit more of a challenge because he wasn't one to want to lie down in what some dogs consider a vulnerable position. All of this was coming together by the summer of 2017. In time, we would move on to a more sophisticated tap signal, such as go to your bed. Some of these behaviors took a year or more, but they all happened as Piglet built quite an impressive means of communication solely by using his sense of touch. My approach whenever any of my dogs were working and mastering their individual basics was to use an array that presented itself to create a teachable moment for everyone. By incorporating their skills into their everyday activities, they would practice and have a means for applying what they'd learned. The same was true for Piglet. No sooner would we arrive home from work than Piglet, knowing the routine, would appear at my feet, ready for a class to commence. We'd usually head outside and enjoy the warm evening air, staying out as long as we could. Instead of opening the back door for the dogs to run out like a pack of wolves, I created another routine. Once learned, they all knew to sit and wait for their name to be called, alone, in a smaller group, or all together, something they learned from times that they were little puppies. This is a routine with purpose. That wait period lets me scan the yard to be sure there are no wild animals waiting for my dogs, to make sure that the gates are closed and allow the smaller dogs to get down the stairs without the bigger dogs running over them. Once outside, we practice various sit, stay, come routines with individual dogs in groups. There was no special lesson, plan, or set for our Piglet school, But Piglet had lots of individual practice out in the backyard, and he really enjoyed doing his tricks with the whole group. The dogs also understood wait when I opened the car door. My dogs know they are not allowed to jump out of the car when the door opens. It's a helpful safeguard when we're near a busy street or in a spot where a car might appear out of nowhere. In the car at the beach, Piglet is most often in his little cat car carrier, so there is no need for him to do a wait as we pick him up, put his harness on, and or either carry him after his last puppy shots, set him onto the ground to walk on the sand with the others, never completely successfully as an operation. Walking down the road wasn't much better. Piglet might race to the front of the pack and then stop to sniff something, causing a pileup with everybody having to sniff too. He really was a tripping hazard for me, which required extreme concentration to avoid going flying or accidentally stepping on him. After his stop, he'd pick up again, but might zigzag or slow down or almost come to a standstill, circling and becoming disoriented. The other dogs were very patient, as they would stop and wait for me to either coax him along or with a tap signal or for a let's go or pick him up and carry him for a little while. I think they differentiated their real walks from the walks with the pink boy. The ongoing lessons of teaching Piglet to apply what he knew, or as terms of wait and stay, to being able to leave food in his food dish in front of him was much more complicated than any of the other tricks. Generally, when we teach a dog to leave it, they are never to have the item, the food, or other object that they are telling them to leave. In Piglet's case, it was more of wait before eating than leave it. There are many different methods to teaching leave to dogs. We start with my holding a treat in my closed fist. When he tried to get at the treat, I held my hand closed. Eventually, and it didn't take long, he would look away, somewhat frustrated because he couldn't get to the treat in my hand. The second he looked away, I would give him his okay tap and a treat. He quickly realized that when he looked away from my hand that held the treat, he got a different treat. I labeled his looking away with a tap to his forehead, which signaled him to look away from whatever he thought he should have. In short order, we were able to transition to Piglet looking away from a full bowl of food placed down in front of him. After being given the leave wait before eating tap, Piglet will eventually dip his nose into his bowl to smell his food and then quickly look up as he waits for the okay to dive in. Watching Piglet put all those steps together and delay gratification just as the other dogs did was one of the most fascinating dog teaching experiences I have ever had. And next week we'll learn more about Piglet's dog training experiences in Melissa Shapiro's book, Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf-blind pink puppy and his family. Our next reading is Dogs with Jobs, Meet Real-Life Service and Therapy Animals. Dogs have been our loyal companions for thousands of years, but in recent decades they have taken on roles that go beyond mere companionship. These incredible animals have become more valuable in various fields, offering assistance, comfort, and even saving lives. In this article, we'll explore the fascinating world of service and therapy dogs, celebrating their contribution and attributing how they make a difference in the lives of those they serve. Service dogs are specially trained to perform tasks for individuals with disabilities, helping them navigate daily life with greater ease and independence. These tasks range from guiding visually impaired individuals to alerting deaf individuals to important sounds such as doorbells or alarms. Service dogs can also assist those with mobility issues, seizure disorders, and mental health challenges. The training for service dogs is rigorous and can take up to 2 years. They must learn to remain calm in various environments and be highly responsive to their handler's needs. There are strict regulations in place to ensure that only dogs that meet specific criteria can be designated as service animals. Did you know that service dogs can be of any breed, While Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers are the popular choice, breeds like Poodles and German Shepherds also excel in the service roles. While service dogs are trained to assist individuals with specific disabilities, therapy dogs provide comfort and support to the broader audience. These dogs are often found in hospitals, schools, nursing homes, and disaster relief areas, offering emotional support and companionship. Unlike service dogs, therapy dogs do not have the same legal rights to access public spaces, but they play a crucial role in enhancing the well-being of people in various settings. Therapy dogs help reduce stress and anxiety, promote healing, and provide emotional support during tough times. They can be particularly beneficial for children facing medical treatment or individuals undergoing challenging life experiences. The presence of a therapy dog can create a calming atmosphere and facilitate communication and interaction. An inspiring story of service dogs and therapy dogs. A dog named Sarge. One of the most inspiring stories in the realm of service dogs is that of Sarge, a Labrador retriever who served in the military. After returning home, Sarge was paired with a veteran suffering from PTSD. His unwavering support and loyalty helped the veteran regain a sense of normalcy and a comfort in life. Sarge was trained to recognize anxiety attacks and would nudge his owner or lay against him, providing a grounding presence during moments of distress. The partnership showcases the profound impact that service dogs can have on the mental health and recovery of an individual. Therapy Dog Brigade. In a bustling city hospital, a group of therapy dogs known as the Therapy Dog Brigade visits patients every week. These gentle canines offer cuddles, smiles, and a much-needed distraction from the stresses of the hospital life. One notable dog in the brigade is Bella, a friendly beagle who has special knacks for making children feel at ease. Bella's playful nature and soft fur create an instant bond with her young patients, turning tears into laughter. The joy she brings is palpable, and her work demonstrates the healing power of companionship. Studies show that interacting with dogs can lower stress levels and improve overall mood. Spending just a few minutes petting a dog can release oxytocin, the love hormone, in both humans and in dogs. How to get involved. If you're inspired by the incredible work that service and therapy dogs do, there are many ways to get involved. Volunteer with a therapy dog organization. Many organizations offer opportunities to train and take your dog on visits to hospitals, schools, and nursing homes. This can be rewarding as you share your dog's love with others and you see the joy that they receive. Support service dog training programs. Consider donating or volunteering with organizations that train service dogs. They often rely on community support to continue their life-changing work. Advocate for awareness. Help raise awareness about the importance of service and therapy dogs, educating others about their roles and rights that they can foster a more inclusive environment for these amazing animals. Dogs with jobs are not just pets. They are heroes that make a difference in the lives of people around them, whether they are guiding their handlers through life challenges or providing comfort in times of need. Their contributions are immeasurable. As we learn more about the profound bond between humans and dogs, it's essential to recognize and celebrate the incredible work that these animals do every single day. Next time you see a service dog or a therapy dog, do take a moment to appreciate their hard work and the joy that they bring to those they serve. These furry companions remind us of the power of love, loyalty, and support in inspiring us to be better and more compassionate individuals. When the dogs are in their training process, the service and therapy dogs are doing a labor of love that requires patience, dedication, and expertise. For service dogs, the process begins with basic obedience training and progresses to specialized tasks tailored to the needs of their future handlers. Trainers often use positive reinforcement methods, rewarding good behavior with treats, praise, and playtime. Therapy dogs undergo similar training, focusing on socialization and temperament. They need to be comfortable in a variety of environments, including busy hospitals or crowded schools. Socialization helps ensure that therapy dogs remain calm and friendly, even when faced with unexpected situations. And very frequently, they do face unexpected situations. This article, Dogs with Jobs Meet Real Life Service and Therapy Animals. And for you pet owners, here are some important routine visits to the vet that should include the following. Vaccinations. These protect your pet from a variety of diseases. Stay on top of your pet's vaccination schedule as advised by your veterinarian. Please get dental care for your pets. Dental issues are common in pets and can lead to serious health complications. Regular veterinary dental checkups can help maintain your pet's oral health. And finally, parasite prevention. Fleas, ticks, and worms can have severe health implications for your pet. Regular preventive treatments can save your pet from unnecessary discomfort and illness. So regular checkups and prevention is the key to having a healthy pet and an enjoyable life with your pet. Well, I hope you enjoyed our readings for today, and I invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they protect us and how they influence us and how they give us joy. Until next week, this is Joyce Vesper for Sun Sounds of Arizona and for Animal Companions. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.